It is KCSB 91.9 FM. Oh boy, what a show we have been having so far today here on Poodle Radio. The KCSB phone system, very non-cooperative, but these are the unpredictabilities of live radio, my friends. Now to announce to you some of what you've been hearing during this time, because, you know, if you've gone phoneless, at least you haven't gone musicless, right? So the applause you're hearing right now would be for Glenn Phillips. That's Brothers on a Hotel Bed. It's a cover, I believe, of a Death Cab for Cutie song. Glenn Phillips, I'm sure if you are a Santa Barbaran, you know that name. He is the guy, the frontman from Toad the Wet Sprocket, one of those bands that gets brought up a lot as far as the Santa Barbara rockers made good. Before that, Liturgy with Helix Skull. That's from their Aesthetica album. They're playing the Muddy Waters Cafe there on Haley in downtown Santa Barbara on Friday, July 22nd. And we also heard from Wetlands with Don't Be Shy. They're playing a benefit for the Proximity Theater Company at Soho on Sunday, July 24th. Once again, my name's Colin Marshall. This is Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent on KCSB 91.9. Fortunately, not everything today is a phone-related conversation or a phone-based conversation. We have got someone coming into the studio, someone I think you're going to be quite interested to hear from, because it sounds like he's got quite a life story and quite an eye for not just foreign lands, not just well-known rappers, but, oh, you know, we'll get to him. He'll explain in his own words his training here at the College of Creative Studies at UCSB and what he's gone on to do with it, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, do you want to hear another song? Yeah, sure. I think we can pull up one more song, can't we? It's Poodle Radio on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara.
Say much. Our love. come out and play. There's a glass jar.
It's KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall. Thank you for staying tuned in to Poodle Radio, the program of the Santa Barbara Independent on KCSB 91.9 FM. Now, we had some issues with the phone before, but we're now trying to work it out so that we don't have any issues with Studio A, right here across the glass where we've had many a live guest. And today we've got one more. A photographer I was mentioning to you before in the show. His name is Hutch Axelrod. He's got a show coming up, and I've been looking at his stuff. He has an impressive body of work, let me tell you. Hutch, welcome to the program.
Hi, good to be here.
And where do I start? First of all, connection here locally. You went to the College of Creative Studies here at UC Santa Barbara, did you not?
I did.
Can you tell us a little bit about that experience? Because, I mean, I went to UCSB, didn't go to CCS, but everybody who goes to CCS seems to have, like, great stories about it.
I really did have an amazing experience being there. It was I had gone out, and even though I was born and raised here in Santa Barbara, I had the opportunity to get out and kind of explore and live abroad for a bunch of years. And my chosen trade is photography, obviously, and I had studied and assisted and worked abroad in the high fashion and kind of worked in that realm and kind of tired of it and wanted to go after something that was a little bit more authentic, something more that spoke more to me. And so I had gone out and kind of shot narratives that had kind of storylines that had meant something to me and didn't really have a context in order to develop that and came back here to CCS. And my mentor, McDuff Everton, pointed me in the right direction and said, well, there's this great program, College of Creative Studies, and there's the narrative quality of my work lend itself to one of the majors out there in the art program, in the book arts. And so I was able to enter into that program, and they allowed me to really develop not only the fine art element of book arts and bookmaking, but then as well to really develop my photography. And in working with several different departments, including the film departments, and at the time the Multicultural Center and the IHC under Dick Hebdige and various others, I had opportunities. And Constance Penley, I ended up working also in film studies, and that was just a really extraordinary experience. I mean, the opportunities that CCS gives to the students is really incredible, and I really ran with that in a lot of different levels.
Now, to take it back one moment in the bio, I guess in your official bio, it mentions that before you went into the fashion world, before you got tired of it, you sold all your stuff. What happened with that?
I came out of high school, and I was just, kind of that directionless, going, okay, hey, I want to save the world, but I didn't really know quite how. And,
right.
And so I said, I want to save the world. And they're like, what job are you going to have? And so I said, I need to figure it out. And so I, pulled everything together and sold everything I owned and packed whatever I could into, two bags and bought a one-way ticket to Europe. And earlier, before that, I had been involved in fashion and as a high school student, exchange student that got me into the world of fashion on a modeling end, and then used that as an opportunity or a vehicle to be able to travel. And so after doing that, I used that and ran with it over there. And after selling everything I own, went over there and After a bunch of years of doing that and living in that fashion, I just said, you know what? I need to get on the other side of the lens. I got something more to offer. And so I took that opportunity, and being in the whole fashion, having those kind of connections I had made, I ended up assisting for a bunch of years in New York and Paris, London, Milan. So I was really kind of involved in that. And then after enough time of just being kind of so immersed in that world, I just said, enough. You know, I never really went back, and to be able to understand and what I had done and why I had done that, and what was that draw to go after something that resonated some sort of more meaning, it made me leave the whole fashion thing and go after these powerful narratives. And to contextualize that and utilizing creative studies was, I mean, just a major gift to be able to kind of really understand and delve into those different realms.
And with the whole phenomenon of the whole idea of getting on the other side of the lens, you know, I want to get more of a sense of what, I don't know if power is the right word, but what sort of ability did that give? What did that open up for you?
As far as,
I want to get a sense of when you did get behind a camera, what did it offer you that you had been looking for? And I know, I mean, there's the element of being able to sort of craft your own narrative through your work, but I want to hear more specifically what freedom it gave you that you didn't have before.
Well, I mean, first of all, being in front of the lens gave me a real compassion of what it's like to be in front of the lens.
Right.
And so with that knowledge, I was able to kind of parlay that into photography and getting on the other side and being able to take my subject matter or the people or the places and being able to kind of create a feeling of when I'm shooting that lets people be as they are. Mm-hmm. And after being involved in this, something that was, you know, highly superficial on so many levels in the fashion world, is just really longing for something authentic and right. looking for authenticity and this kind of narratives of lives lived rather than drama for drama's sake, I suppose, on the other end.
Now, I want to get this in here, and I want to mention it a few times throughout this segment, which is that you've got a show you're going to be putting up at the end of this month, opening on the August 1st Thursday. What's going into that show?
Yeah, on August 4th at Soho, I'm opening a show where I was recently hired on a job to actually shoot a movie in India and Nepal. Of a kind of very last second, I got a call and they said, "Can you be on a plane day after tomorrow to India?"
And I was like, "And you said naturally,
yeah." Yeah, you know, like, "Oh yeah, sure, let's go." And so I somehow pulled my life together in a day and was able to leave last second. And actually, to get a visa, we weren't able to do it that quickly, so I had to we had a last-second fly to Kathmandu in order to secure a visa after shooting there for 2 weeks to enter into India. And it was also kind of a spiritual journey, was the story and the narrative behind this story. And it was what they really looked to for me, in me, was the, you know, kind of these cultural strengths of being able to go into a very difficult situation and pull beautiful kind of cultural, you know, trademarks of a place, or enter in and be able to connect with the people. And that's really what I work towards doing. And while I was shooting with my still camera, the 5D, which is also has a video function that is used to shoot, you know, Slumdog Millionaire and a bunch of other movies, I was able to really develop both the video and which I, you know, kind of gained in experience in working with Constance Penelly and Dick Hebdige over in film studies, is kind of that idea and being able to go in and shoot with my expertise in that still image, but then create a more video and the moving image.
What has been the process for you of being able to draw out sort of the cultural authenticity of people? I mean, this is not, it sounds so vague, so not vague, but abstract when I say it. I mean, what does it mean to actually get an authentic image of a person to you? I mean, what has that meant over your career?
Well, I think that's really what, you know, kind of elevates a work, was is that opportunity to go in, and people are, well, how did you get these people? How do you be able to shoot these people, these street people, and have them be in their space and be able to make them comfortable? And I mean, of course, you know, from the background of knowing how it is to be in front of the lens, but then also a sensitivity to culture is being able to go in and be able to go in with smiles, even if I don't speak Hindi, even if I don't speak the native language, is to be able to go in with smiles and a really good heart. And then also being able to really honor people for their space, no matter what it is, and being able to appreciate them and have fun, you know, with that moment, and keep it fluid. And I think people really open up to that. And, you know, smiles really are an internet, or, you know, it's an international language.
Does that work better, or how does that work there in comparison to, say, if you are taking photos, for example, in the US or Europe, you know, in a place like Nepal or India that people would think of as, I'm making air quotes, exotic. I mean, is it a different game than if you're photographing people here?
You know, I mean, I was envisioning a much bigger challenge going to India and in these kind of places. But I noticed that when I arrived, people were very, very happy to have their picture taken. Where it is much more of a challenge here, or in the Western worlds, is people are much more skeptical of that kind of thing. On a large part of the movie that we were shooting, we were going to very remote regions in the Himalaya-China border, or the India-China border, and in the Himalayas. And in going up to the one place in the Valley of Flowers, it was near to a sacred spot for the Sikh religion, where they do a pilgrimage, I think several million people a year, in a very small window of when it's actually passable, go to a place called Hemkund. And it's a place in the high Himalayas that is a pilgrimage. And you not only have to go on the world's most dangerous roads for several days with the worst monsoons in history in order to get there. And it was, you know, really, really treacherous. I mean, death-defying, and it really gave you that sense of being present. But then along the way, you really meet people who are on this kind of sacred pilgrimage. And they do, maybe once in their lifetime, these millions of Sikh people. Along the way, they really felt like, I got a sense that photographing them almost validated their experience of going there. And so they really were asking me to take their picture. So it really was, and with the sights and the sounds and the colors and the vibrance of that culture of India is just really extraordinary.
I want to, you know, I'm thinking of people on a pilgrimage and the sort of purpose of that kind of mission for them. And I think of the show I was reading about, or the work I was reading about, rather, that you took of the photos you took of the organic farmers. And it seems like you have, to correct me if I'm wrong or if I'm making too much of an assumption, but it seems like you have a desire or a tendency to shoot images of people who are just really, really dedicated to what they're doing.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I really have an appreciation of, after being on the flip side of that in the whole high fashion deal, is going after these stories or these narratives of people or of lives lived, of people pursuing something regardless of money or fame, of people pursuing things that is really at their being, is that they're doing because it's not what they want to do, but it's what they have to do. And it's who they are. It's an extension of that. And people go, oh, you find these beautiful models and these great people. Well, I go and find beautiful stories. And within those stories are these beautiful lives. And within those beautiful lives, it's naturally just who they are and what they do.
And if I'm talking about dedication to what someone does, you know, it was a pretty big story when Chuck D came in this station a while ago, a few years back, and hung out for a while. And you photographed him too, right?
Absolutely.
He seems dedicated to his craft.
Oh, well, he is, you know, another one of those people who's really an extraordinary individual. And I had the pleasure of being able to work with him amongst other people as while working with the IHC and Dick Hebdige is an opportunity to really get in. And I was saw these extraordinary people coming to the university, and there was really not too much photo work done on them. I was like, well, I'll shoot these guys, you know? So when Chuck D came, I was like, hey, I'll do a little narrative. And I came down here to the station when they did an interview, and I shot that and put together little, you know, kind of slideshows with one of his, I asked Chuck what song he wanted on there. And I did the same thing with RZA and their various others. And so it was a really neat opportunity to kind of work with really extraordinary individuals. And it went across not just the pop culture kind of musical end of, you know, RZA and Chuck D and Saul Williams and these kind of people, but then as well the really extraordinary world-class people that the university brings in that so many people and students as well really don't really realize, I think, that we bring in. I mean, we brought in like Angela Davis from the Black Panthers. We brought in, you know, people who are part of the original Mars landing rover craft. And I'd go to these things and there'd be, you know, maybe 50 or 100 people at tops at these things that are really free for students to go to.
Right.
And I was like, I want to share this with them and get that out there to them. And so it was a really neat opportunity to do so, and especially work with the resources that the university has and run with that. So,
by the way, if you've just tuned in, this is Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent on KCSB 91.9, Phone Failure Edition, but in studio Success Edition, talking right now to photographer Hutch Axelrod, who actually studied here at CCS at UCSB. And he's going to have a show going up at Soho at the end of the month, opening officially next month, first Thursday. And, you know, when we had Paul Wellman in the studio, the photographer for the Indie, we got into the camera geek terms. So I want to hear from you. What can you tell the camera geeks about the gear you use, about what's worked for you and what hasn't?
You know, people always say, you know, well, what camera do you use and this, that, and another. And, you know, I have to say that some of my most amazing, powerful images were shot with, you know, really beginner cameras.
Yeah.
And so it isn't so much about the camera itself, but about that moment and about being able to create the moment and being unobtrusive within that. Now, one of the higher end cameras that I've now worked with, you know, I work with a Canon 5D, and that shoots the video element as well, and Canon made the digital jump and all these kind of things. The obtrusive element of working with a bigger camera, although it does shoot much higher resolution, is a bigger challenge than shooting with a much smaller camera, where you can kind of pop out a small camera. And I mean, people are shooting stuff with, you know, I mean, even something like an iPhone or something like that, a very small digital camera that isn't as obtrusive. People feel much more at ease, and they make much more themselves. The challenge was really making that leap from shooting with a little point-and-shoot camera to a giant SLR, and at the same time remaining unobtrusive and having people feel at ease when they're at that point, when you're shooting them and you're pointing the camera at them.
And you don't want to bring something super alien-looking into a place that you don't see too many of them, right? You don't want to have this huge rig if you don't need it, if I've understood that correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, being a professional photographer, of course, you need to create, you know, large files. You need to create high-quality images that have the potential of being able to be blown up to, you know, billboard size or whatever. And so it does necessitate now being able to shoot with, you know, a nicer camera, such as an SLR.
Now, the show with photographs from India and from Nepal that's going up at Soho at the end of the month, going to be available before that to see, I'm sure, but officially the opening on first Thursday next month. What can you say about the individual shots we're going to see up on the walls at that show?
Well, you know, originally, like I said, we had landed in Kathmandu at first, and so we went around to a lot of the sacred sites there that were really, really extraordinary. But a bulk of the work is when we landed back in India. We went from India or from Delhi. We took we found even though it was the worst monsoons in history, so everything was flooded. The trains were stopped, and so we had got this car that we last second that we were able to get to drive us through the most dangerous region of India, or of Asia, in fact, up to Rishikesh. And Rishikesh is the birthplace of yoga, a really extraordinary place that, you know, is the birthplace of yoga, and things like the Beatles wrote their White Album there.
Right.
You know, it's kind of that Eat, Pray, Love was stationed there. And so it is kind of this sacred spot. And that was kind of the foothills of the Himalayas, where it was kind of a stopping point as we headed north from there. We went on a several-day journey. But we ended up hanging out in Rishikesh for a week or two. And just a place like Rishikesh that gets its name after the Lord Vishnu, and in Rishikesh they have laws even that are so progressive in our sense, like you know, plastic bags are illegal there.
Wow.
You know,
never expect it.
You know, vegetarianism is by law you don't find meat there because you can't. And you know, that there's, it's an amazing place where the place was named after Lord Vishnu, who appeared under a mango tree. And the name Rishikesh is loosely applied to the association of five distinct sections, which encompass not only the town, but the surrounding areas. And one of the main temples, primarily is credited with the beginnings of yoga, is Lakshmanjula, which is this beautiful orange, like, you know, probably 10-story or 12-story tall temple that is right on the banks of the Ganges River. Hmm. And there's the Lakshmanjula Bridge, which goes across it, which as well is a very historical spot. And, you know, there's still to this day, babas and sadhus, and it's kind of rife with all of these different types of cultural people. And then every day at sunrise and sunset, the Indians come down to wash themselves in the Ganges River as a process of cleansing, of getting back to their mother, which is represented by the Ganges River.
I want to know how large a stock of photos were you working with when you were actually curating for the show, for picking out which ones you want to. I mean, was this I've got to find one out of 1,000 shots and put them in here, or was it like I only took maybe ones that I thought I was almost sure had some potential? What was that situation for you?
Well, that was quite a task and an undertaking. I mean, just looking at the, you know, after being a month there for a month and a half and shooting thousands of pictures, thousands and thousands of photographs, is really starting to work through that and being able to pull stuff that really worked and kind of this more fine art element. I mean, there's also, I also work with Getty Images, which is a stock, right. Kind of they license my images around the world. And so then I had to look at stuff, okay, what is model released? And so I can release it to that. And so that kind of took that whole realm. So it really was blinding and looking through these things. And thank goodness cameras haven't gotten to the point, because right now they're at the edge of being to the point where they're talking about being able to take stills off of video. And even with my camera and the video, I could take it and blow it up to, say, 8x10, and it would hold together on video. So you think, you know, you shoot 10, 15 hours worth of video, and how many frames per second? And then,
you know,
your mind just starts swimming in the potential of trying to... Yeah, I don't even want to do the math. So so I was kind of scratching out and being able to shoot stills in between shooting video as well, and that was interesting, but I did pile through that. I did get through that, and it was nice to kind of go back to those places and those times. And granted, I had to be on the movie shoot most of the time, so I wasn't able to break out that much and really go out and shoot the stuff that I really wanted to be shooting. But I did have those moments, and when I was able to get away, I was able to pull some neat stuff that really had really changed. And each of the images as well, I did real research on. I really looked back through the history of the place, of the location, of what it meant. And I think I really gained that from working at through CCS and under Harry Reese, and really even becoming an expert in everything you do and taking time to really research and look at the work and understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. I think elevates something, an image, from just being a pretty picture, but really being something that people want to put on their wall, you know, something that they want to be able to tell a story about. And so I've written up a paragraph on each of the images that I display with the images. And that was a neat learning experience for me as well, to really understand what it was and why I was there, and what the meaning of some of these places were to the larger thing. And as well, some of the places are very sacred places. Were destroyed mere days after I was there by the Ganges swelling and overwhelming, you know, hundreds of year old statues that had been totally dead, you know, obliterated by the Ganges River. And it was really a kind of serendipitous moment to kind of be there at that time, that before everything was changed forever.
And speaking of, you know, putting these things on walls, speaking of displaying them, I want to emphasize again to the listener, the show is going to be at Soho. And what are the considerations of the space you're putting this up in? I mean, are there any considerations, or is a space a space a space to you as far as putting up a show?
Well, Soho is a neat combination of, you know, it's a very open space and the walls there are great, and there's several large rooms, but then as well, the opportunity to become kind of work my work into something that a lot of the shows there are very culturally bound. Mm. You know, they bring in musicians from around the world, whether it's kind of reggae or, cool, you know, salsa or all these different kinds of things. And as well, it's a dinner place, so people sit down. And I think that's a neat venue to be able to show in without having to enter into the gallery world, where it can be kind of a different animal, so to speak. And so to be able to have something up on the wall where, you know, I have the Babas down on the Ganges River, you know, with you know, the amputee with his legs sitting next to him and puffing a big chillum, you know, to the woman with one eye, a cataract eye on the other, and looking back through the history of cataracts and how cataract surgery was originally invented there in the 6th century, you know. And
yikes.
And some of the other more kind of poignant things there was exciting. And to be able to display it in Soho, and then there'll be other places that I'm kind of looking at around the area you know, that are connected to yoga or to music. And so I've got other opportunities to work with, you know, Prana Store or these different places and venues up and down State Street that aren't necessarily the pure gallery setting.
Now, once again, this show with the official opening is the first Thursday next month. That's August 4th, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep, that's
August
right.
4th. And
it's from 6 to 8 p.m.
6 to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Got it. And people can keep up with you on the URL of your website again.
It's www.hutchaxelrod.com. My last name, AXILROD. And it's hutchaxelrod.com. And I don't have a lot of the more current stuff up there right now. It's in the process of being updated. But you can look back through some of the other work that I've done, some of the other bodies of work, and contact me, and I can always shoot you a link to any of the newer stuff.
Excellent. Well, Hutch, thanks so much for taking the time this morning to come on Poodle Radio.
Colin, pleasure.
This is, once again, Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent. We've had some phone trouble, but we've had some fine experiences so far here in the studio. Stay tuned. Going to be talking to a new voice that's joining us on the air, a new co-host for the show in just a moment. So keep it here for that. It's Poodle Radio, Thursdays, 8 a.m. until 9, here on KCSB 91.9 FM.
UCSB Arts and Lectures, Santa Barbara's County Park Foundation and Arts Commission, and the Santa Barbara Film Commission present Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance, the great American musical on film. Free movie screenings on consecutive Wednesdays and Fridays, running from July 6th through August 26th.
Each Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m., Wonderful Wednesdays, Arts and Lectures will host screenings in UCSB's Campbell Hall. Campus presentations of classic Hollywood musicals from the 1930s through the 1950s are being paired with the Courthouse Movie Series, which will host free outdoor showings of the same films each subsequent Friday night at 8:30 p.m., Fabulous Fridays, at the Cranny Courthouse Sunken Garden in downtown SB, where guests are invited to bring blankets, lawn chairs, and refreshments.
The lineup features Tall Hat, July 6th and 8th, Swing Time, July 13th and 15th, Ziegfeld Girl, July 20th and 22nd, The Gang's All Here, July 27th and 29th, The Ziegfeld Follies, August 3rd only, On the Town, August 10th and 12th, Singing in the Rain, August 17th and 19th, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, August 24th and 26th.
The County Courthouse is at 1100 Anacapa Street. KCSB is a media supporter of Arts and Lectures Summer Cinema. For more information, go to artsandlectures.ucsb.edu or call 805-893-3535.
It is KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. My name is Colin Marshall. Here with you 8 a.m. to 9 every Thursday morning, covering Santa Barbara independent-related stuff. When we can manage to make the phones work, I think we're going to be off the phone guest thing for a while because, you know, the studio guest actually worked. Thanks again, Hutch, for showing up. And we have someone else in the studio now, a voice you'll be hearing on Poodle Radio for a while, in addition to mine as well. I mean, before he maybe takes off for South America, but we'll talk about his travels. It is Levi Michaels. Levi, welcome.
Howdy, folks.
And yes, you'll be hearing more of him, so perhaps some introduction for this man. Now, he is here after seeing off some Germans who were couch surfing at your place, right?
That's correct.
What happened there? How'd that come about?
Well, they, after having not used or touched my Couchsurfing profile in well over a year.
This site is couchsurfing.com, right? People
it's
use for this?
Couchsurfing.org.
Okay. Organization, nonprofit that people use for literally that, Couchsurfing, right?
That's correct.
And you log on, you see that some Germans are looking for a place in Santa Barbara. You're like...
Well, it was more like I was logging on to plan my next South America excursion.
Right. You've used that before to go places?
I did. I used it when I was traveling down there. But this was my first time hosting anybody. So,
we'll talk about your travels in a moment, but with hosting somebody, it's just like you say, sure, come on over. They come over. I mean, do you hang out?
Well,
or is it?
You have like a number of options. You can say... yes, my couch is available to you, like, no matter who you are or what you do.
Right.
Or you can say, like, I'm available to, like, take you out to coffee, or I can show you around town. Or, there's a range of options.
Right, you specify what you want to do, who you want to have over.
Yeah, maybe if you're less comfortable with just opening up your couch to whoever may walk through your door.
Right. So how easy was it for you to find couches to surf on when you were traveling yourself or when you're going to be traveling?
Surprisingly easy.
Really?
Yeah. It may sound crazy, but I don't know. Somehow it works.
Now, we should mention you're going to be going to South America within the next few months, but you'll be on this show before that. And what have been your travels before? Some highlights of your traveling life up to this point?
Probably my... Most, my longest and most profound trip was, meaning like most well planned out and like, you know, did things, that I had really set out to do was,
right.
My first South America trip after studying in Brazil for 3 months.
So you studied in Brazil for 3 months, then traveling around the continent?
Yeah, did a semester abroad. After my program ended, met up with some friends from the same university who were studying in Argentina. Went around there, up through Uruguay, through the south of Brazil, through Bolivia, all the way to Peru.
And so was it like you did that and you're thinking, well, I got to go back as soon as possible? Like that's the motivating factor for this upcoming in the next few months trip? Or
it's more like I want to go back and right. and being a college graduate, after graduating, there doesn't seem to be anything... Any reason not to?
Right, might as well.
Except maybe hosting this show, but I have a feeling it'll go on. It was here long before I got here, and it'll be here long
after.
We
want to bring more voices on, you know, even for some time, a lot of time, however amount of time. But let me ask you this, because you have a background in this. I mean, you went to UC Davis, correct? You had the...
That's correct.
You had
from Santa Barbara, went to Davis.
Right, you had a show on KDVS, their station, and before that... KCSB, you've been on KCSB in high school. And so how did word even get to you? You could be on KCSB in high school.
My dad, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's my dad's idea. And one summer he suggested, careful.
Just whapped my nose on the microphone. But your dad says you got to go on KCSB.
Yeah, he suggested that I do it. And it was summertime and I had nothing else to do, so I showed up for a training seminar, and it seemed really inviting to people who had no prior radio experience. So I did a quarter on K-Juice, and then I was on here for, I think, about a year in high school.
What was your show?
It was an electronic show called Techno Sucks between the hours of 4 and 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
You stayed at 4 to 6 the whole time. You were the graveyard.
I was
straight
four
on through.
I think they moved me up to 2 to 4, like a quarter or two, after I had a quarter or two under my belt.
But what were you throwing down in those hours? I mean, the show is called Techno Sucks. It's either literal or ironic. I'm not sure. It could be either. So what were you playing?
I wasn't really sure myself. I used to haul in my my decks and my mixer, and I would bring like 50 pounds worth of gear with me all the way from that parking lot over there until I realized that I had the authority as a KCSB programmer to drive my car up to Stork Tower.
Right, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and then I would haul my stuff here, set it out on this table, and I would just play a DJ set for 2 hours.
Now, one of the reasons you're going to join the show is that you have experience on KCSB, but also with the indie, and you were writing for them in high school too, right? I mean, you were like involved in a pretty crazy amount of stuff for a high schooler in Santa Barbara. Now that I think about it, right?
I would like to think so. Yeah.
What were you writing about?
Mostly music. I did a lot of shows at the Bowl, album reviews. Back then, unfortunately, I'm not getting as much ink these days, which is why I'm looking for a way to get more involved in the independent. But I did a lot of reviews, did a lot of interviews, a lot of previews, pretty much a lot of different views.
Highlights of those views. I mean, I want to hear anything you particularly striking that you did as far as people you talked to or shows you saw that you might not have gotten to, you know, if you hadn't been writing?
Well, probably what comes to mind immediately is I remember when Modest Mouse came to the Bowl a couple years ago after they just put out We Were Dead Before the Ship Even Sank. I hadn't even really given them a fair listen, but they gave me tickets to go review it, and I listened to them, and I asked myself why I hadn't been listening to them, and now they're one of my favorite bands.
You're like, had you been ignoring Modest Mouse actively? Had you written them off, and this was like a turnaround for you? Or just kind of like, yeah, it's a band, I don't know, you know, I've heard of them. Was it a 180 or just like a slight turn toward them?
Was like a kind of like a reverse sort of, I don't know what the word is, but it's, I started out, you know, I listened to their new stuff and I said, wow, the new stuff is really good. I wanted to, like, let's keep going farther and farther back. And I realized the further back I went, the better the stuff got. So.
Funny how that happens with bands, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, in the last couple minutes we have here, I'm just putting it all together in the bio we've sort of spoken out on the air this morning for you. You've got the travel, you've got the writing about music, you've got the broadcasting. How would you talk about your long-term goals?
You don't have to be specific. That's a very good question, and one that is asked of me a lot.
Asked of, I think, a lot of us a lot.
Yeah. I would say, I don't know, I enjoy media, various forms of media, radio, writing, journalism, video. I hopefully find a way to combine all of those things. I do know that when I do go back to the Deep South, I will be having a travel blog that the Independent will be publishing.
Oh, cool.
Online. I don't really know what I hope to find down there, but you can read about it. And as for my future, hopefully you'll be seeing a lot more of me around KCSB.
Indeed, keep an eye out for. We want to bring up that travel blog periodically when you're on the show, because that's going to be something cool to read. And before we wrap up, I guess anything you can tell us about what you want to write about, what questions you want to ask on that blog, or is it going to be whatever you see, hear, feel, experience? That's what's going on there.
Well, I tend to keep my eyes and ears open when I'm traveling, which, you know, I think it's really the best part of traveling, because it kind of forces you to be aware of exactly what's going on with you. You know, when you wake up in the same place every morning and you go to this, you have the same routine, you're not really aware of anything outside of...
Your brain slowly shuts down.
Exactly.
Oh, that feeling.
So I will just go and, you know, sort of revel being in that state and see what comes from being out of my element.
Cool. We've been talking to Levi Michaels. You're going to hear him as a co-host on this show for the next period before his next trip. And we're going to be adding more co-hosts to Poodle Radio, by the way. So we're getting as many voices as possible. Probably not over the phone, as you can tell by the debacle earlier this morning. But that's cool. You know, these things happen on KCSB. And this has been, by the way, since we're at 8:59. Poodle Radio, the radio program of the Santa Barbara Independent on KCSB. Thanks, as always, to Matt Kettman for his organizational help. Thanks to Ali Cummingore for organizing the musical tracks, of which we heard many today. And do be sure to join us every Thursday morning, 8 until 9, for more Poodle Radio goodness. And by the way, if you have been wondering about the guitar, you've been hearing the guitar stylings of Levi himself. I think that's pretty cool. I didn't say you should play guitar while you talk, but I think that, you know, that's the kind of thing you might not hear anywhere else. Anyway, it is KCSB 91.9 FM. Stay tuned. Alternative radio is just around the corner in less than a shake of a stick.